church. All right, open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 119. We'll be there in just a minute. I want to say it's a joy to be here today. And several of you, more you know me than I know you. I've got bad eyesight, so if I don't recognize who you are, you just let me know what your name is. As some of you came up to me, and I appreciate being here, and I count it honor. I counted up the other day. I think I preached in about 25 churches in Wilkes County over the years. I've been preaching 33 years. I don't think I've ever had the privilege of even coming here for a service, I don't believe. But I appreciate your pastor, and he's a real blessing, and I appreciate being here this morning. Now, we'll say a little bit about the radio ministry tonight, and he asked me, do we have any information on it? We have, I've always done the radio ministry, but since I've come back to Dobson, and that's where my main office is now, I realize that we're so far behind. We've played the last 3 months really trying to catch up, January, February, March, and the Lord has really let us accomplish so much in the last 3 months. And we are going to be getting some information out about our ministry because I feel like that's what the Lord's just wanting me to do. I'm not going to say that we won't ever pastor again, but I don't have the desire to do that right now. My desire is radio, and I reach, and I say this, I'm way down here, I'm not worthy. He told me about who all preached here. I was looking for a back door, and I couldn't find one. I thought, maybe where would they like one? And Brother Caudle's been here. Brother Beatty, like I said, y'all ain't had no preaching, so I'm going, no. Now, Brother Beatty may intimidate y'all, a big old jolly green giant. He don't intimidate me. Me and him, we have a good time together. Amen? And we're close. Really are we close for him. My wife worked for him for a year, and she went to work down there, and I thought to myself, and I said, they will kill each other. This won't last 2 weeks. I know him, and I know her. You know what? He likes her better than does me. They'd like to have her come back to school. I told her she'd have to quit. She's working for the competition. Amen? And but anyway, no, we have a good time with our preacher, brother. But anyway, it is good to be here. And we will eventually, as we go to churches, we will have some information on the radio. And I do apologize about that. We do have some prayer cards, I think, but that's about all I have right now. We are working on some stuff because we feel like that God wants to use the radio in these areas. I'll say more about it later this week, but one thing we are doing is putting up these FM translators that the FCC has allowed us to do, and we don't know exactly where they're going to go, but we're going to try to reach as many people around these areas as we can. Now, on our two stations, just the radio part alone, in Dobson and Sparta, we reach 168,000 people, and that's not counting the television that we're getting into, and it's audio on the TV. And we're going into the SkyBest has allowed us to do that on their music channels. We're working with some other companies about that. And God's just opened a lot of doors. And so we'll say more about that a little bit later. But I do appreciate being here. Appreciate the service. Man, the choir. Amen. And then the children. That was a blessing. Amen. I praise God for that. I was thinking about it when those kids were singing years ago. Before I ever got saved. And I grew up in the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle down in Rhonda, North Carolina. That's where I got saved at. But before I ever got saved, there was a Mexican missionary came by our church. And one day, we was all going around shaking hands, and he laid his hands on me and said, "Son, I'm praying the Lord will call you to preach." Scared me to death. I wasn't even saved. And I got saved a little later and started preaching. And I want to say one other thing. I do appreciate my wife, Christy. Now, that's all I'm going to say in public, because me and her never admit we like each other in public. We pick all the time. People say to me, "You're mean to your wife. You only know one side of the story." I have been locked out of the house. I've had spaghetti thrown on me. And when we first got married, one day I came through the house one Sunday morning. She just tossed spaghetti. I said, "What'd you do that for?" She said, "I just want to see if it was ready." And you're crazy. And we have a good time. We really love each other. We pick all the time. And I hope a little humor don't bother you, because I use it. I do use it, and I know my place, and I know when to get serious. One lady down at Berea, and I preached for Dr. Beatty quite a bit, and one lady told me, she said, "Preacher," she said, "I'll tell you what you do." She said, "You use humor," and said, "then you nail people's hide to the wall." I said, "Well, that's not my intention. I don't mean to do that." So I was somewhere else, and then somebody else told me that too. But anyway, I appreciate being here this morning. I thank God for you. Amen. I do appreciate Miss Marlowe. She's been my friend for over 20 years, and I appreciate you, sister. I thank God for her just being faithful. It was good to see her this morning. And all of you, I thank God for it. Now, in Psalm 119 this morning, we're going to look at this. Now, if you've never been with me in a meeting or in a service, I print my scripture because of my eyesight. I print it off where I can see it. Don't get excited about that. Don't let that bother you. It don't bother me. It's King James Bible, okay? And let me just say this. When you're blind, you do a little bit of everything. I have fell down steps. I have prayed when I wasn't supposed to. I probably preached a time or two when I wasn't called on. And the other day, I sat down, and Joe Arthur, I don't know if y'all know him or not, your preacher probably does. Joe, I was on the platform, he hollered at me. It's his fault. I looked at him to see what he wanted, which wasn't nothing. And I went over and sat down, and when I did, you know, this the way they started printing this money now, you know, it ain't like it was years ago, and I can't see it as good. I reached over to my wife, they started taking off, and I said, "Is that a 20? She said, "Yes, but I'm not your wife. Your wife is sitting for..." I'm sitting there, and I thought, under anything, what have I done? I've ruined my whole ministry. And I thought real quick, I'm so smart, God ought to gave me two heads. I said, I got to get out of this mess. And I made it like my cell phone ringing. I got up and left. And but anyway, the bad part of it was that lady's husband. He's a preacher, well-known fellow, Brother Dr. Simpson. He looked back, and he never said a word about me sitting with him. He just looked back and said, "Hey, Rebecca, I need some money." He never said a word of it. And anyway, and I don't let that bother me. I just don't. Amen. And I have fell off, and I know where these are now. But the carpet, your color, it does. I'm not going to get too close to that. I'll tell you this, and we'll preach. I had a fella, and he built a new church. And he said to me, "Pastor, preacher, would you come by? I just want you to look at the building." I said, "Sure." I'm glad there wasn't no service. Just me and Christy went through there. And I think there's one or two more there with us. I walked up on the platform, had carpet about like this. I fell off that thing, landed flat on my face, just laying there on the floor. And I said, "Well," and I guess the reason God's let me do that over the years is just He knows I'll just go on. And you pray for me this morning. I want my mind to be real clear. We raised money for 2 days. I'm serious. And he might have heard what I said on the radio yesterday. I said, if I get up, we was doing cakes yesterday. We had a bunch of cakes that people had baked, and we were, you know, auctioning them off for the radio. We don't do that for the church now. We do stuff for the radio. And I told the people over there, I said, "I'm going to preach Brother Hayworth in the morning." I said, "If I get up and tell them to turn their Bible to the book of Coconut, you know I have really lost my mind. But you pray for me." I really want to be clear this morning because God wants to say something to us this week. And I'll be as brief as I can. All right, Psalm 119. Let's stand, please. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. Psalm 119. I read one verse today, verse number 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. And we'll look at the Word of God. Thank you again, Brother Hayworth, for letting me come. And thank you, good, kind people, for letting me be here this morning. All right. Psalm 119, verse 89. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Let's read that again. "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Now, Heavenly Father, I stand when no man can stand alone. I've been doing this for a long time, but I know I can't do it without You this morning. So I pray You'll help me and use me in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today. The Word of God that you have with you this morning is the most precious thing on the face of the earth. And if you're going to have revival, what you got to do is you got to fall in love with your Bible. Amen? And the Bible this morning is the most amazing book that you will ever open. It's actually 66 different books inside one book. 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. 1,189 chapters, over 31,000 verses, and somebody has said over 700,000 words are in this Bible. In 1803, Thomas Jefferson was president of the United States, and he was also superintendent of the Washington, D.C. school system. You know what he did? He used the Bible as a textbook for the Washington, D.C. school system. In the late 1780s, somewhere in that area, the United States Congress printed and paid for Bibles to be used in the public school system. Now, I'm talking about the Word of God. You say, "What are you preaching on today?" I want to preach on the Bible this morning. The Bible. I know of no other book like the Bible. Do you? You know, I don't know how many of you would have, and I don't think you would, you wouldn't go home today and pick up last Friday's, a week ago Friday's newspaper, and say, "I believe I'm going to read that again. I just believe I'll read the whole thing." You know why? It's a dead paper. It's dead. You don't pick up a book from last year. But you know what? Most of the time, you might a commentary or something, but even those don't do what the Bible does. This book is alive. This book is the greatest book you will ever have at home or at church or anywhere. This book is God's book. This book is preserved. This book is inspired. And by the way, don't be afraid about that word inspired. It just means God breathed. And if God ain't breathing on it, it ain't real. Amen. This is the Bible, the Word of God. And I tell you this morning, if you don't have a love for your Bible, you need to get one this morning. Amen. Can I say this to you? Several years ago, as a young boy, down at Ronda Baptist Tabernacle, there was we got a new preacher. And about a week or two after he came there, he brought me my first giant print Bible that I could ever read. And I began reading the Bible. I began to fall in love with this great book. And I tell you what, over the years, God has helped me. By way of introduction, let me say your Bible is eternal. Forever, O Lord. There's never going to be a day that the Bible ain't. You say, well, preacher, what are you going to do with all these other versions? Going to leave them alone and stick with this one. Amen? I'm not worried about them. I know the real thing. I know what works. Did you know a man that's in counterfeiting and studies counterfeit money and all that stuff, you know he never deals in the false stuff? He studies the real thing so much that he knows when something's not right, you understand? And I'm not worried about the other versions. I'm not going to study them. I want to study this one and know that this book is right. This book is what's founded America. 44% of the founding fathers, their quotes came directly from the Bible. And the Word of God, did you know in the 1960s, we kicked the prayer out of school, we kicked the Bible out of school, and did you know in 1986, the Supreme Court made a decision. They said, we need to take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse wall because they might, now get this, they might influence somebody. Well, I sure think we need to be influenced today, don't you? And I want to be influenced by my Bible. I love my Bible, don't you? Amen, I love my Bible. One little lady said this one day. She, a little teenage girl, she met this guy and she went on a date with him, whatever. And boy, she didn't know about him, but he told her. He said, I've wrote a book. She said, you have? And then she remembered. She said, wait a minute, I've got that book. And she went home, she began to look through all of her books, and she found that book that young man had written. And she stayed up all night and read that book. And the next morning, her mama said, honey, I noticed your light was on. What was you doing all night? She said, oh, mama, I was reading this book. She had it in her hand. And her mama said, well, I thought you didn't like that book. She said, I didn't like that book, mama. That book didn't mean anything to me. But yesterday, I met the author of that book. Let me say this. When you meet the author of the book, amen, hey, you want to read the book, don't you? Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. Your Bible is established. Not only is it eternal, it's established. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Did you know your Bible is perpetual forever, O Lord? Amen. Did you know, didn't you know the power of the word is the Lord forever, O Lord? And that word's Jehovah God or Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Did you know then your word is personal forever, O Lord? Thy word. It's not Brother Hayworth's word or my word or anybody else's word. It's God's word. Amen. And then the place of the word, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's a heavenly book, this book. And that, with that in mind this morning, I just want to talk to you for a little while, hour, two, three. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I want to talk to you for a little while about the Bible. Amen, the Bible. Number one, can I say to you this one, very simple outline. I don't preach anything deep because I don't know anything deep much. But very simple outline. Number one, it's the book of salvation. Amen. This Bible is the book of salvation. If we want to see people saved, we got to get them back to the King James Bible. We got to preach the Bible. We got to tell the Bible. We got to witness the Bible. The Word of God will do what you can't do this morning. Amen. It sows seeds that you cannot do. You see, I heard about years ago in this foreign country where there was a lot of witchcraft and things, that there was this man there and he had a Bible laying on a table, and a wild dog ran through the door and grabbed that Bible and ran out the door with it. And took it over there and threw it down at one of those witch doctor's feet. Well, that man was curious. He got that Bible and began to read it and got saved. True story, got saved by the grace of God. Can I say this to you? That this Word of God will not return void to God. And God will get this Word to whoever He needs to, whenever He needs to, wherever He needs to. This Bible is the book of salvation this morning. Amen. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we need the Word of God in our day. I was amazed this morning. I really appreciate your Sunday school hour. I go in a lot of churches, and I'll be honest with you, it's not structured, and I really believe that's the way you learn the Bible, the way this brother was teaching the Sunday school this morning, amen? And you need to get in the Bible. You know, it's not about what the world's doing this morning, and we may reference it sometimes in a sermon, but it's not about what North Korea's doing or Japan's doing, but what about what heaven is doing this morning, amen? It's the Bible. Somebody said, but preacher, I'm just worried to death. I said, what are we going to do if North Korea shoots a missile over here? Get on it and go to glory. Don't worry about it. Amen. But if you're saved, amen. If you ain't duck, I guess. I don't know, but amen. But the Word of God is sound. You know, that's what got me saved was old-time preaching. Amen. And can I say in 2018, it still works? Amen. Now, I know you folk like preaching, or you wouldn't have Dr. Beatty up here. Now, buddy, he'll sell the corn. Amen. Dr. Cottle ain't too bad either, amen? And he's a good fellow. But here's the deal, man. I'm going to tell you what, the Bible is what will get people saved this morning. I liked, when I was pastoring, I used to like to support ministries that dealt with Bibles, that got Bibles out, you know. And did, well, there's one down in Mississippi that does that. And I enjoy that because the Word of God, getting the Bible into people's hands is what will get them saved. You see, if you take the Bible and you begin to read it, and even if you're a lost person, if you begin to read the Bible, you will eventually get saved by the grace of God, probably. Because that Bible has so much, it is the Word of God. It is God. God said He is the Word. The Bible is, you know, I didn't choose preaching. But you know God chose the foolishness of preaching. Now, I don't, whatever people do in their churches, I try not, you know, I've been accused of telling people how to run their church. I don't tell them how, I didn't do so hot when I was pastoring, so I'm not going to tell you how to run your church, amen? I can't tell you that I'm an expert in that. I'm not, amen? I mean, you folk got more people in the sound room than I had pastoring, amen? And so I'm not going to tell you I did such a good job with that, amen? But I know what works. And I know that old-time preaching to get people saved. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 18, for the foolish... let me just read that verse, amen? I got it right here. And I want to read that verse to you. For the Bible said that's not the right verse. Let me read right here. 1 Corinthians 1:18, yes it is. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. You see what will get people saved? Preaching Jesus. And where do you get Jesus? Out of the Bible. Just preach to them. The Word of God is what America needs today.
Amen.
Now, I don't mean to be critical, but our nation's spending all kind of money on these reform programs, all that. But let me tell you, when you get a man saved, you've got him. You get a lady saved, you've got her. Amen. You remember the little story years ago they told about the little boy that was his daddy, it was an old drunk, and he got saved, and the daddy was standing up and testifying about the last 2 weeks of his life had been the best 2 weeks since he came to know the Lord. And then he sat down, and some sophisticated, educated little woman stood up, and she said, Pastor, could I say a word? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, what that man up there said is scientifically impossible. She said, it's impossible for you to just stop alcohol and liquor and beer all at one time. That's impossible. And she sat down, and the little boy stood up, and he said, could I say a word? And the preacher said, not if you're going to talk like her. He said, no, sir. He said, can I say a word? He said, that's my daddy up on the front row right there that just got saved. And he said, preacher, if this thing ain't real, like that woman tried to say it ain't, said, will you not tell him? Because it's been the best 2 weeks we have ever had since he got saved. Amen. I tell you, it is real. It does work. And the Bible gets people saved. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, it's not the book of salvation, but it's the book of stirring. Did you know that? Psalm 119, verse 25, David said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. You know, I've been reading right now in my Bible reading about how David ran from Saul. Now, David wouldn't kill Saul, but Saul would have killed David had he got away with it. He would have. He tried to. Now, can you imagine David's a young man? David goes out and gives his life for Israel. By the way, somebody said, I don't believe in being patriotic. Well, you better read the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Praise God, old David had some guts when nobody else did, amen? That 9-foot, 3-inch giant came out there, and David said, hey, ain't going to be no problem for me. Ain't going to be no problem for God, amen? And David helped him out a little bit. But you know, here's David running from Saul, gave his life for that, for the nation of Israel, and then Saul's hunting him down like a dog. Can you imagine how depressed David got? And the psalmist said, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Have you ever been just, by the way, It is not a sin to get depressed. And it's not a sin to get discouraged. Now, let me say this. It is a sin to stay discouraged.
Right.
You're human. You will get discouraged. I don't mean to just tell stories. I want to preach the Word of God, but God uses experiences to help you, I believe. You know, you go to some churches, and I think y'all are fine. I feel the good Spirit of the Lord here, but you go in some places, you really don't know. Some people say, well, just preach the Word and don't tell any stories. Some folks say, well, tell stories. We like experience, and you don't really know what to preach, amen? So I've decided to just preach what God said preach. But in all honesty, Friday, I'm just going to be honest with you, Friday, we started raising money on the radio. And I'm not giving the devil any glory, but the company that does our internet, they pulled our Sparta internet stream for no reason. They pulled that thing off at 9 o'clock Friday morning. They shut it down. They pulled it off. We emailed them. We tried to get it straightened out. They were rude. They were uncooperative. They wouldn't help us. Well, the money didn't come in too good on Friday. And Friday evening, if Brother Hayworth had called me, I'd have sold him both stations for a dollar. Amen. I went out there, and me and Brother Tommy Worth, we went over there and we went to Cracker Barrel. I did find one thing out Friday. Everybody goes to Cracker Barrel in Jonesville on Friday. Somebody's in Cracker Barrel at Jonesville on Friday. Amen. And so we go over there and eat, and I said, this curves him down. And you know what? I went back yesterday, and God just poured heaven out. But just to show you how the devil works now, do you know when our stream started back? Yesterday afternoon at 1 minute till 4 o'clock, they let our stream start back as far. They kept it off for 2 days. We couldn't raise any money. And that's all right. God did it anyway. I had one man send $2,500 in yesterday. But I'm just simply saying, you can get discouraged sometimes.
Right.
But when you get discouraged, where do you run? The Bible.
Amen.
I go to the Bible. It helps me. I like reading Psalm 46, where it said, the Lord is a very present help in trouble.
Amen.
I tell you, God can help you right now. He don't have to wait later. He can help you right now. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, God ain't, you know, you don't have to make an appointment with God. God can help you right now. Well, if God couldn't help in my little things, amen, I wouldn't want Him to help my big ones, would you? I know some friends of mine right now that are facing some pretty big things in life. And I mean big things and sickness and some are even facing death if God don't help them. But I tell you right now, God works in the big things and God works in the little things, and you can find all that right here in the Bible. It's a book of forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Washington may not like it, and the state may not like it, but God still likes it, and it still works. The Bible this morning, amen. It's the Word of God. It'll keep you encouraged. Last year, matter of fact, it's this very day, April 8th. Last year's on a Saturday. I finished working there. I was doing an hour shift there at Sparta Radio. I was doing some live programming. I was under such a burden. There's some things wasn't going right. Mama was real sick and other things was happening. I mean, the devil just raging. You've had those times in your life. And I got home, boy, and I mean, it was a down day. It was just a sad day. I told my wife, I've never been burdened like I was that day. And I went into my little study. One thing about my wife, I thank God for her everywhere we have ever lived. She said to me, you're going to have a study. I said, but Christy, we don't need to. She said, no, you're going to have a study where you can get with God. I appreciate a wife like that. I thank God that God sent me a wife like that. I got in that little study, Brother Hayworth, and I'm talking about the Bible. It's when I'm talking about it being the book of stirring, amen. I got in there and I was so low, amen, the low would have had to run and hid from me. I mean, I was down, boy. And the Holy Ghost said to me, he reminded me, I believe it is Psalm 46:10. He said, be still and know that I am God. And I began to look at that verse. You know what that verse means? Yeah, I like to study things out and know what they mean, you understand? And I began to look at that verse, and you know what it means? It means relax. In other words, what God said, just sit back, boy, and let me take care of things. Amen? I mean, you're going to mess them up, but let me handle it. By the way, Jesus ain't my co-pilot. He's my pilot. Amen? He's not co-anything, honey. He's the pilot, amen? I just let Him do it, amen? And boy, I was sitting there that day, and God came in that room, and I can honestly tell you before God this morning, it's been 1 year, and I've seen God do things, especially in the last 3 or 4 months. I've seen God do stuff that if I told you this morning, you wouldn't even believe it. Amen? I mean, God's done things for me and my wife, things we've been praying about for years in the last 2 or 3 months have come to pass. I tell you, He's still God, and if you want to get, man, I'm about to get religious. If you want to get, amen, excited, hey, get in your Bible, and it'll encourage you.
Amen.
You know why we live so defeated sometimes? We don't have the Bible. I saw a tract one time. Had a man, had a stack of books. Little boy going off to college, and he dropped one out of the middle. He said, oh, well, one book won't matter. But you know what? The book he dropped was the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. I like books. Old John Butler, he's wrote all kind of contrary. He's my friend up in Iowa, and I like him. He wrote over 60 books. Dr. Oliver B. Green, these men that wrote. I've got green books and red books and brown books and black books and blue books. I got all kind of. You say you're blind. How do you read? Dr. Beatty gave me a machine. I put a book under it, and it puts up on the screen. I read it, and then I bought me one. I got two of them machines, and that's the way I read. And I read books, but I've never found a book like this book. I've never found a book that'll stir me like this book. Amen. I know what time it is. I'm moving on. Amen. Number three. Can I help you this morning? Amen. Number three. Amen. Can I help you? This is the book, amen, of sweetness. Oh, you say, preacher, sweet. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Well, once in a while, you know, the best times I have, and by the way, I believe in having a good time at church. It's okay to say praise the Lord. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to get excited when the choir's singing I'm redeemed. It's okay to do that. But you know the best times I ever have is by myself. Man, I have found some sweet things in this Bible. I found that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. I found this book to be sweet just for me. I mean, God writes things in there just for you. Have you ever thought about it your daily? If you read through your Bible daily, ain't it amazing that every day, even though you're just reading through a schedule or whatever, every day God speaks to you, and some days that verse is just for you. Yeah. It's just what you need for that day. I mean, it's just sweet. Man, who don't like sweetness? I love sweet stuff, don't you? Of course, the Bible talked about honey, amen? I like coconut cake. I mean, yesterday, man, they brought those cakes in there. You could smell them, man. I mean, I tell you the truth, you could smell them. I was thinking, I want a cake. My billfold was saying, oh, no, oh, no. And I mean, I'm tore. I'm like Paul. I'm tore between two. In the body or out of the body, I could not tell. Amen. I mean, but you know, when I get in the Word of God, it satisfies my spiritual need for sweetness. Amen. And I just tell you, I used to sit outside in an old rocking chair and read my Bible. And every once in a while, I'd get so excited there wasn't nobody around. I'd get up and just run around that thing and say, praise the Lord. You say, preacher, I don't know about you. Well, I can't see you, so I don't know about you either. Amen? But now, I will tell you this. I do have a built-in detector. I can tell if you're glad, mad, or moving around too much. I got built-in detectors in here. I can tell that. I had fun when I pastored. Things would go in my church, and the people would say, Pastor, how did you know that? You can't see. I thought, I'm blind, not retarded, you dumbbell. I know. But anyway, hey, what I'm telling you is this morning, God, I mean, this Bible's a sweet book. I mean, man, you get the Bible down, and hey, man, you can just get some good stuff. You say, preacher, I like, you ladies, I like good love stories. Well, instead of watching as the stomach turns or whatever all that mess is, get in the book of Ruth and the book of Esther and read some of that. Why, God, it's just sweet, man. Well, me and Moses, we done crossed the Red Sea, and me and Noah built the ark, and now we're over there, me and David, I'm trying to get him away from Saul, and man, we're having a time. I love it. I just get enthroned my Bible. I get enthused with it. I sat in the doctor's office the other day, and now my wife's good for a lot of things, but I found out wives are really good for keeping husbands in line, and it takes a lot to keep me in line. I was sitting there the other day, and I'm a country fella. I mean, you know, I just pull my phone out, and I thought, I ain't going to waste my time. I'm going to read, you know. All of a sudden, I get this poke in the ribs. I thought the Lord was trying to tell me something. I looked, and it wasn't the Lord. It was my wife. She said, you turn that down. I said, it's too loud. I was going over to the doctor's office. Amen. He needed to hear it, too. He's a good friend of mine. And but I like reading my Bible. Amen. I mean, it's a sweet book. Amen. Hope I'm helping you. I just want to help you this week. I want to get you to get a thrill for your Bible. I mean, get in it and meditate in it. Get in it and read it. Get in it and study it. Get in it and memorize it. Hey, get the Bible in you, man. And if you will, not just Brother Hayworth, he can't give you what you need. How many times a week you meet here? Three times a week, whatever you meet. He can't give you that enough Bible. You've got to get some of it at home and get it from the... Somebody said, well, and by the way, I love music too. Now, I love singing. Amen. We own two radio stations. We better like singing. Praise God. I'd be a dummy if I did. Somebody said, well, you can't build a church on singing. Well, you can't build one without it. Amen. I like singing. But I'm going to say this, singing will never give you what the Bible will. I got a good friend of mine. He sings all the country. Brother, anybody know Brother Archie Watkins of the Inspiration? He's a close friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he's singing to me on the phone the other day. I called him. He's, man, crazy. He's singing to me on television. And but you know, nobody likes to sing. I've never met a man love to sing better than Archie Watkins. I tell you the truth. Amen. Well, he'll sing all the way to heaven when he gets to heaven. And that's good. But you know what? I love to hear him sing. I love to hear people sing. But you know what? I also love my Bible because I can get it's the book of sweetness. Let me hurry. Let me say this one. You don't really believe a preacher hurries, do you? Amen. It's a book of service. In James chapter 1, verse 25, the Bible said, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," the Bible said, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." When you begin to read this Bible, it'll put you doing something for God. It'll fire you up. It'll make you want to preach. It'll make you want to teach Sunday school. It'll make you want to be on the deacon board. It'll make you want to work with the young people. It will put you doing something when you get in. That's why a lot of people don't want to read the Bible. I thought I was real smart when God was dealing with me to preach. When God started dealing with me to preach, the more I read the Bible, the more God dealt with me to preach. I said, "Okay, God, if that's the way it's going to be," I quit reading the Bible. For about 2 months, I just put her up. Didn't read the Bible at all. What I didn't realize is when that Bible is God talking to you, God didn't talk to me for 2 months. Let me tell you something. When you're praying, you're talking to God. When you're reading the Bible, God's talking to you. Well, I got that old book out and began to do it again. God said, "All right, let's pray." I said, "Oh, here goes this preaching business again." And praise God, you know what I did? I finally surrendered to the Lord to preach. It wasn't that I didn't want to preach. I wanted to, but I was afraid God wasn't calling me. Amen. But I know now after 33 and a half years, I got such a big mouth. I know God called me. Amen. There's no doubt about it. My wife, if you say amen, I'll preach to you an hour. Amen. But anyway, no. But here's the deal. This is a book of service. This book will inspire you to do something for God. You ever read how Paul in the New Testament started all those churches, got them fired up, got people saved? Man, people come and know the Lord. Man, if that won't set you on fire to do something for God, I mean, all a preacher's got to do, if you want a burden, just read the book of Acts. Amen. I mean, man, when you begin to read about the early church, you say, "Preacher, did all them people really get saved?" Sure they did. God recorded it. There's a 3,000 here and a multitude there. And finally, God just quit counting. Amen. I mean, there's so many people got saved. And by the way, God's still saving people today.
Amen.
Amen. All we got to do is get at it. They're ripe for the picking. You say, "But Wilkesboro's a hard area." But what area is not hard? I heard Brother Farrell Shepherd. Anybody know Brother Farrell Shepherd? Y'all know him. I heard him talking last night. He's doing the same thing we're doing this week. Me and him's close friends. And Brother Plato Shepherd. Anybody know Brother Plato out in Kansas? And Brother Plato was, y'all support him. He's a good brother. And Brother Plato was telling his daddy, he said, "That's the hardest church plant I've ever had, this last church plant." You want to know why? We're getting close to coming to the Lord, buddy. I mean, the devil don't like it, but hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep giving the message out, Pleasant Grove. Amen. I appreciate you good folk. I appreciate your church, and I can tell you've had some preaching and some grounding, and you're a good church. You know what? This church got a good testimony. I'll tell you what, I was preaching revival here not a few months ago. Passed by here on a Sunday night. Man, y'all was about full. I went to preach, come back. I'd done preached and come back, then I'm out, and y'all was still here. And but I couldn't blame Brother Hayworth. He wasn't doing it. I knew who was doing the preaching, Scott Cottle. And I said, "What in the world are they doing?" I said, "They must be eating." I said, "I think I'm going to go over there." Chris said, "You can't do that." I said, "I'm going to go there and see what they're doing." And I text Scott Cottle. I said, "What are you doing? You holding people all night long?" He said, "No, brother." Said, "This practice is a Christmas play." I said, "Oh, I didn't know what was going on, eh?" And I can aggravate Dr. Cottle, you understand me and him. But here's what I'm saying to you. The Bible will put you doing something, man. Let me hurry. I'm serious. Let me go on here. Did you know the Bible is a book of success? I won't take time to read the scripture, but Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." And by the way, God told Joshua, now let me get a picture of this. Moses dies. And there's probably 3 million people there, and Joshua's going to take over. And the Lord told him, he said, "Now Joshua, if you take this book, Joshua 1:8, and you do what it says, you're going to have good success." Well, did you know Joshua did pretty well what God said? He made a few mistakes when he went in the promised land. For instance, you know, when the children of Gibeon came to him and tricked him, Joshua should have been smarter than that. He ought to have prayed about that. He ought to realize that they were the inhabitants of the land, but he didn't realize that. He just took them on in and made a league with them, and they were snares and thorns to Israel even unto this day because they didn't drive all those people out. You know what? You got to do it God's way or it won't work.
Amen.
And the only way to do it God's way is to get in the Bible. Did you know if we'd run our homes on the Bible, we wouldn't have the divorce rate we have? Did you know if we'd run our churches on the Bible, we wouldn't have the mess we have? If we'd run our nation, boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if we run our nation on the Bible?
Amen.
I mean, wouldn't it be a blessing? I'm not getting into politics now. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or Democrat or whatever. I don't care. But I'm just simply telling you, wouldn't it be good if the President of the United States came out and said, well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saved by grace, and before we do this press conference, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a verse of Amazing Grace. Wouldn't that be? I'd like to be there to see what CNN would do, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Now, if I offended somebody, but anyway, I'm just simply telling you, the Bible is a book of success. You can't improve on God's plan. I told Roger Baker one day, I said, what are you doing? I said, well, I've been out knocking on doors. He said, you can't improve on that, can you? I said, nope, God laid it down in the Bible. Amen. You just can't improve. When God tells you something will work, it will work. Amen. You can't improve on God's plan about missions. God said, do it. You just can't improve on that. Amen. Why, you can't improve on God's plan about witnessing to somebody. God said, do it. You know, you can't improve on God's plan about tithes and giving. God said, do it. I love to give, don't you?
Amen.
But don't bother me to give. I like to give. Amen. I have a good time. Well, you know, I just love the Bible will bring. You know, our young people. If somebody asked me not long ago about a certain young preacher. I said, preacher, what do you think about him? I said, well, here's the key to him. I said, if he marries right, he'll turn out right. You see, your wife can have a whole lot of influence on your ministry. Do you know that? I thank God my ministry, since I got married, God's quadrupled my ministry. I thank God for my wife. I really do. Amen. We make it like we don't like each other, but we love each other. We got too much invested. We're going to stay with each other. It's 11 years ago today I asked her to marry me. She's dumb enough to say yes. So, amen, we're going on down the road together. Amen. But you know what? You know how you build, you know how young people, if you're here today and you're single and you're looking for somebody, find somebody according to the Bible. I was 40 years old before God ever gave me a wife. Well, I don't want to wait that long. Well, I'm glad I did. Amen. You know, some things worth waiting for, man. Amen. Praise God. I got one whole lot smarter than me. She graduated Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and University of Alabama. Amen. She got enough education. She's a rebel bulldog floating on a crimson tide. Amen. But oh, Pastor, I'm going to take you up on that. You said if I need anything, I need a ride back to Hamptonville. But anyway, I don't. I own that car. But anyway, but we're moving on. But, I mean, the Bible will give you success, man. I mean, listen, it's good to read other men's books and things, but I tell you what, the Bible will tell you how to do things. Amen? Now, let me say this. I'm going to give you two more and I'm done. You know, the Bible is a book of steps. The Bible said in Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what the Bible will do? The lamp, it'll tell you where you are, and the light to your path, it'll tell you where you're going. Brother Hayworth's preaching to you. You know, sometimes it'll give you light on where you're at. People say, I just don't know what to do about this decision. It's in the Bible.
Amen.
Every answer for every problem is in the Bible. You say, now, preacher, I don't believe that. I've got a problem that's not in the Bible. No, you don't. You don't have a problem that's not in the Bible. And you know what I've started praying? God, when you want to answer something for me, show me from the Bible what you want me to do. And man, you know what? The Scripture starts coming to my mind. And sometimes it ain't what I want to do. And sometimes it is what I want. God don't necessarily answer prayer the way you want Him to. But you know, the Bible will guide your steps. Have you ever wanted to do something, but you knew the Word of God said, well, do it this way. But you want to do it another way. And you said, I'm going to do it my way. It don't work out when you do it your way, does it? I'll tell you this, and I know time's short, but let me tell you this. I just want to share this with you because I think it'll help you. Up here at that lake, at the Kerr Scott Lake, many years ago, about 30 years ago, my dad, we used to fish. We wasn't real big fishermen. We never had a boat or anything like that. I wouldn't dare getting a boat with him. But him and my uncle went up here on one of them piers fishing. And we was out there, and they had a little lantern. And I thank God there was a drought that year of 86. There was a drought. I'm out there on that pier, and they got ready to go, and I had a little bit more eyesight than I do now, but I didn't have as much. I was born blind, so I still ain't never had my full eyesight. And they get up on that pier, they was fishing, they got ready to go, and they took that light, and man, they went on down through there, and they got too far away from me, and I was walking along there, and whoom, I fell right off the side of that thing in that lake. And I don't know if I went all the way to the bottom, and I don't know where I went, but I come up about as fast as I went down, and my daddy looked around, his heart just sunk. And he ought to have sunk, amen, and took a light off me. If he'd have lost me, he'd have lost the treasure, buddy. Amen. Yeah. All he would have had left would have been my brother. That would have been a sad thing. But he ain't here, is he? No, he's not here. And y'all don't stream this on Facebook, do you? I'm dead. But But anyway, here's the deal. Did you know why? You know why I landed in that water? Wasn't no light. You know why people get in a mess? No light, no Bible. Brother Hayworth, you ever had anybody come to you and do this? Now, preacher, I want to talk to you about something, and I want your opinion, but they do more talking than you do. Now, the Lord's gave me a new job, preacher. Now it's going to take me out of church. But now, preacher, you know the Lord's in it. And you're standing there like, huh? I don't know the Lord's in it. I don't know anything about this. And they talk so fast. You know what they're wanting you to do? Is agree with them. Right. I say go to the Bible. Let God tell you what to do. Amen?
Amen.
You go to the Bible. You know, if we'd go to the Bible, it'd solve a lot of our problems. Then I'm going to give you number seven. I'm done. I want to end on a positive note. The Bible. The greatest book ever. Amen. The Word of God. You want to have revival this morning? Go home this afternoon and read your Bible. Man, you'll come back now and you'll feel. By the way, you get clean when you read the Bible. Through the Word, the Bible said now, through the Word, you're clean, John 15, amen? I mean, man, I like to get clean, don't you? I like clean. I wash my hands 300 times a day. I really do. I mean, I do. I wash my hands all, and I know they wonder over at the office why, where all the towels go. It's me. I wash my hands all the time. I like to be clean. I always have been that way. But you know what? I like to get in the Word of God and get clean, don't you?
Amen.
Now, number seven, I'm going to give you this one, and we're going to close. The Bible is a book of surety. This Bible's my future. If one verse in this Bible is wrong, I have wasted my life and I have messed up. Because I have put my heart and soul into this book being the Word of God. My Bible tells me, and we'll deal with this later in the week if God will let us, my Bible tells me that there's a thing called the rapture of the church. Now, I know that the word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible. We won't get into that. It's a Latin word. It means to be snatched or called away. I understand that. But, brother, my Bible tells me that, praise God, those that have died in Christ, they are coming out of that grave, and you're going to see your loved ones again.
Amen.
And since the death of my daddy and since the death of my mama, that has become very real to me. And the devil has told me, you know how the devil do you? He'll tell you, oh, there's no resurrection, there's no. But the Bible says there is.
Amen.
Martha said, I'm going to see him again at the resurrection. Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, the Word of God is surety. Amen. It's surety for you. God said he'll go with you in this life all the way. In Matthew chapter number 28. You know what he said? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's our whole command, everybody's command. But he said, you go. And then at the end of it, you know what he said? Lo, I am with thee all the way, even unto the end of the world. You say, preacher, it's a hard day. Yeah, but God ain't left us yet. And let me say this, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, like Dr. Stennett Ballou says. I will do all I can while I can. There's going to come a day I can't. And I want to do everything that I can right now, because this Bible is my surety. I will see God one day. Oh, Job, thousands of years before Christ, Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Amen. He said, I'm going to stand before God at the latter day. Amen. Hey, I know I'm going to see God, but while I'm in this world, God's going to take care of me.
Amen.
That don't mean that I might not suffer or whatever for the cause of Christ, but I'll tell you one thing, the Bible's real. That book has always come true. Everything God's ever said is in that book right there. I mean, every promise, God. By the way, if God ever fails you this time, it'll be the first time.
Amen.
You can't tell me. I'm going to close with this right here. Brother Hayworth, have you ever met anybody that comes to you, that came to you and said, preacher, I've got a problem. And you say, okay, what? And boy, you just draw up when people come and say, I got a problem. You know, you take 3 Rolaids and 5 nerve pills, say, okay, hit it, Jack. What is it, Tim? You know, I mean, I used to get, every time somebody had a problem, I'd get nervous, afraid they was going to leave the church. I tell you this before I tell you that. We had a couple in our last church, and one day they called me and they said, you and Christy need to come to our house. We need to talk to you. And on the way over, I said, what did you do to them? I said, they sound mad. I think they're going to leave the church. What did you do to them? Amen. I knew it wasn't me, a sweet, nice fellow like me, not going to run anybody off. But I mean, a sweet girl like her, no. But anyway, I went over there, and I really thought something bad was wrong. It wasn't that at all. They just wanted me to pray for them. I said, whew, thank God you're not leaving. Amen. But anyway, I didn't know. But you know, the Word of God, what I'm telling you, it's a book of surety. But have you ever met anybody that says, hey, man, I got a problem, preacher? And you say, okay, tell me what it is. They say, well, preacher, I got saved several years ago. And you know, preacher, I'm just sorry I got saved. I want out of this thing. Preacher, tell me how to get out of it. You've never met anybody like that. You know why? Because when you get saved, the Bible is your surety. It's your road map all the way to heaven, brother. And I tell you, other men may come and go. Ministries may come and go. This contemporary church outfit may come and go. But that King James Bible, 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, over 31,000 verses, over 700,000 words, it will not fail. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. That means she's fixed, buddy. You can't move it. Settled in heaven. Where's the word of God? It ain't in the headquarters of some religion. It ain't in the Vatican at Rome with the Pope. It's in heaven. Thank God for my Bible. Amen. Amen. I was tired before I come. I feel pretty good now. Amen. All right, let's do this today. I don't know how y'all give invitations here, but let's do it like this. Let's everybody stand, have the, maybe the ones that play the instruments come, and let's just have them play, and maybe we'll end up with a pastor doing it. But if he don't mind, I'd like to give just a little bit of an invitation here like this. We'll just have them play and have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to pray right before they play while they're getting ready. We're going to pray, and then we're going to have them play, and maybe you'll need to come do business with God. Father, I love my Bible. Now, Lord, other men could have done a lot better this morning than I have done. I understand that. But, Lord, what I've tried to do is give them what you told me to say. And, Lord, I love my Bible. You have been such a blessing to me down through the years with your word. I'm glad when you went back to heaven that you left us with the word of God. I'm glad you did. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now, bless in the invitation in Jesus' name. Now, as they play, heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe you...